This is the Brian Mitchell Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
Welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show, and joining me now, my buddy, Brian Westbrook, former Eagle and 49er, Villanova Wildcat, and a DeMatha Stag, always going to be a Stag. Third round pick with the Philadelphia Eagles. And Brian, how you been, man? What's going on?
I'm good, B, man. I'm doing well. My Eagles are not doing very well, but I'm doing well. I can't complain.
Okay, let's kill that bird right now then.
They already did.
So, Carson Wentz gets benched in the third quarter. Are they going to keep him benched? Because he's regressed, man.
Yeah, you know, I've been on a couple calls this morning, and all of them have said one thing, that Carson has been so bad in the place where they're at as far as the season, that why wouldn't you give the young rookie quarterback an opportunity to play? The truth is this. The one thing that's holding the process up is Carson Wentz's salary. They gave him over $110 million guaranteed in June of 2019. So, I mean, when you pay a guy that type of money, uh-huh, and you have a $60 million salary cap hit if you get rid of him or cut him next year, and then $40 million the year after that, that's when you start to talk about why guys are still on the team, why they're still playing. And as you know, B, where you're drafted at and how much money you're making certainly plays a part in whether a team has the ability to get rid of you or put you on the bench. And I think that has played a part in Carson Wentz's ability to be benched at this point.
You know, Brian, you battled for your job. You had people in your position. Mm-hmm. I've had people, you know, hell, I was playing here and they draft the guy who won the Heisman Trophy to return kicks and punts. But and you battle. And I hear this, and I hope the hell this ain't true, that Carson Wentz's confidence was shook by them drafting Jalen Hurts. I mean, and you hear a lot of people, you don't do that to your quarterback. Why the hell the quarterback shouldn't have the same type of stones that everybody else have? Everybody else have to battle for their jobs. Why shouldn't he?
Well, I absolutely agree with you. I think the quarterback position has been in a situation where when another quarterback, especially a draft pick, walks in a room, you're saying, okay, that's my position. That guy is here to take my spot. Now, as far as running backs, another position, you're saying, okay, multiple guys can play. Not one running back's going to play every single play. And, you know, eventually, maybe I have another opportunity somewhere else. But the quarterback position, and you know this better than anyone, kickers and quarterbacks, mentally, they're just not as strong. They're a little bit more fragile. But, yeah, the thought and the mindset coming out of Philadelphia is that they drafted Jalen Hurts, who they initially said was going to be the Taysom Hill of the Philadelphia Eagles, that kind of stuck and didn't grow very well, didn't fit very well with Carson Wentz. And because of that, he has basically looked terrible all season long, looked much worse than he did his rookie year, much worse than he has any other season that he's been in the NFL. And now, just think about this. 2 years ago, we were talking about Carson potentially being an MVP front runner, his ability to play and as far as being one of the best quarterbacks in the league, a Pro Bowl player just a few years ago, and now we're talking about him as one of the worst, if not the worst, statistical quarterback in the NFL. That's a huge fall from grace, and the Eagles have to figure out how that even happened.
Has his saving grace been that there are no fans in the stands? Because one thing I know about Philly, they tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And I think if they had fans in the stands, this thing could be very ugly. How are the fans on the radio up there?
Oh, no, they are upset. Everyone is calling for Jalen Hurts to play. Everyone is questioning Carson Wentz. And here's the other thing. Carson Wentz, he had the owner, the GM, and the coach on his side for a very long time. And they love Carson Wentz. I'm talking about have said that he's the smartest quarterback that they've ever had. And and in fact, they paid him before they had to pay him.
Yep.
And this is a guy that had never won a playoff game, had never completed a playoff game at the time and still to this day. And so when you're talking about getting paid for what you deserve, he didn't deserve that contract because he hadn't won anything up to this point. And they gave it to him before they needed to, the same way with Jared Goff out there in L.A. for the Rams. They gave it to him before he needed to, and now you're kind of stuck with the guy that is not producing and at this point is overpaid.
Well, we'll see what happens. And, I sat there and watched him give McNabb hell, and he was winning. So,
well, that's the hard part, because as a guy that played with McNabb, I feel like there's a moving goal line here, because they gave McNabb a hard time, a hard way to go his entire career. Five NFC Championship games later, and a Super Bowl appearance. And now, for a guy that hasn't even won a playoff game, they were on his bandwagon for a long time, and they just recently jumped off this season. But there were a lot of other games where Carson hadn't played well, and there were a lot of supportive people here in Philadelphia.
Talking to Brian Westbrook, former Philadelphia Eagle and 49er, the Matastat, he's a homeboy. All right, Brian,
that's right.
You drafted in the third round, and you came into Philadelphia, did some unbelievable things. Watching Terry McLaurin and also Antonio Gibson here, what is it about that damn third round, man?
You know what the third round is? You're not a first round pick, so you're not coming in with this big head that you're going to make this team and that you're going to be this impact player that you haven't made. You come in and you're saying, you know what? I got to work my butt off just to find a spot. I got to work my butt off to be able to make this team. I mean, just remember this, B-Mitch, and you know better. When I came into the league, you had yourself, you had Deuce Staley, you had Carrell Buckhalter, you had, remember, He Hate Me Rocks,
yep.
And you also had Dorsey Levis on the team. I literally was just a guy. I'm like, all right, I got to go find a place to play, the ability to get on the field. How can I do that? Well, B-Mitch was a return guy, so I couldn't return the football. Deuce was a starting running back, and then Dorsey and then Buck, they were the running back, so I couldn't play running back. And so now I got to go find a way. I had to go, you know, rush the kicks. I had to play on kickoff team. I had to do all the small things. Third rounders have that work ethic that nobody's going to give me anything. And I shouldn't say third rounders, but even the guys behind them in the draft, that no one's going to give me anything, and I'm going to work as hard as I can to make this team. And it's really worked out for a lot of these young guys and myself included.
They're looking at Gibson, Antonio Gibson, very much in the role like you played. You ain't run the ball, but also they want him to be a good passer out the backfield. But I think he's shown that he's a better runner than they thought. The guy carried the ball 30-some times when he was at Memphis. He's 6'2". He's 226 pounds. He runs 4.39.
Yep.
So, you know, when they finally let him do a lot more receiving, how deadly you think of somebody like that can be? Because you had that run-pass threat all the time.
Well, listen, when I watched Gibson, and this goes back to early on in the season, the first half of the season, and you just kept on seeing him flash. And that's what you want to see, especially when a team, you know, the Washington football team, they weren't doing great early on, but you just kept seeing flashes here and there of this young man running around, catching the ball out of the backfield a little bit. And now I'm seeing him, and I'm like, you know what, that's what you should expect. And it also kind of plays into the head coach's mindset. Ron Rivera wants to be able to run the ball, play a little smash-mouth football, and then play great defense. And Gibson certainly fits that. He has the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. We've seen that, averaging basically 7 yards a catch. And then when in the run game, he's explosive, he's dynamic, he's getting some of those long runs. And anytime you put him near the goal line, he's going to get in the end zone, and that's all a coach can ask for, is a guy that's not going to turn the ball over and certainly get into the end zone as often as he can. And he's fulfilled all those things that Ron and that offense has asked of him.
Yeah, he's been in there 11 times, I think, already this year in 11 games.
That's impressive.
Yeah. He got 11 touchdowns, and I think with Alfred Morris had 13.
Alfred Morris.
I think he might get to that.
Well, he's in the conversation for rookie of the year.
I mean,
he's certainly in it.
Yes.
You talk about Justin Jefferson, Justin Herbert, and Antonio Gibson. He's certainly in the conversation.
Oh, definitely, definitely because of that. But you look at this, you look at the Steelers, and many people don't give them a chance to win this game. You look at the fact the Steelers are losing their center for the night, Pouncey.
Mm-hmm.
Then you also lost Bud Dupree, one of their better pass rushers. Losing those two guys, how difficult is that to try and replace guys of that caliber?
Well, the center is literally the quarterback of that offensive line. He points out blitz pickups. He points out the what defense it is. And when I look at that Washington defense, I'm saying that's a nasty group. That's a group that you don't want to face with someone that's not your starting center. That's a group that's going to come at you from a lot of different areas and a lot of different ways. And that's not the group that you want to have your first start under playing against. And so, yeah, it's a difficult situation for him. And listen, Bud Dupree, he was getting it done coming off the edge. His ability to attack offenses and attack quarterbacks was special. And this is their second guy that they've lost. They lost Devin Bush early in the season.
Yep.
So they're down a couple of big-time pass rushers, guys that were playing well on the defensive side. That changes things for them. What has made the Steelers stay in games, what has really allowed them to stay in games, is their defense, because they're so good. Now, if you just find a way to get around Big Ben and just affect him in a way, not allow him to just have free access on some of these throws and just throw the ball anywhere you want, now you can slow down that offense. If you can do that, now, and without the pass rush that that defense has been allowing with Bud Dupree being out, I think you have a certainly a recipe for winning the game. You have a path to win this football game, and now it's up to your players to make sure that path continues to be open with their play on the field.
I believe Washington, they have, in a way, they might have to win this game, because you look at the fact that the Giants beat them twice. The Giants won yesterday against Seattle. They're sitting at 5-7. If Washington were to drop to 4-8, okay, with the Giants with that two, they beat them twice. They have that tiebreaker on them. And you look at the next four games, the Giants have the Cardinals, the Browns, the Ravens, and the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. You would think that they're going to get one for sure, and that's probably get them to six. So you're looking at the Washington football team. They got the 49ers, Seattle, Panthers, and Eagles after they play the Steelers tonight. I would think that's as tough as what the Giants are facing, and the Giants seem to have the game ahead.
Well, think about this, and you know it better than anyone. A hungry football team, there's meaning there. There's strength there. A team that is on the rise, they're trying to figure things out, but they're hungry to try to win the NFC East. They're in a position, and they basically have owned their own destiny. They have the ability to control their own destiny. That's a dangerous football team. Now, you look on the other side. Pittsburgh has played well. Let's not look past it. They played very well. But they're undefeated, so they may not be as hungry as this football team that they're going to play tonight in Washington. And so, there's a path to victory here. Now, can you go out and execute that game plan? And here's the thing that I would love to see. We've seen Ben turn the ball over early and often in some games. I'm thinking back to the Dallas football when they played the Dallas Cowboys. He turned the ball over a bunch. We have to find a way to get the ball out of his hands and hopefully get the ball into our hands and give our offense a short field. If you're able to do that, if you're Washington, then you do, again, you have a path to winning this football game.
Oh, we'll see what happens with it, man. We will see, because I think, you know, it's gonna be a tough game, you know. You, and then people are like, oh, they overrated. Now you 11-0, you're not overrated. Can they be beat? I think they can, and I think, like you say, they Ben can turn it over sometimes, or they haven't played every game great. They didn't play great against the Ravens. You know, had a lot of balls drop, a lot of balls came out, and I don't think the Ravens had a chance to take advantage of it. But I think Washington is going to have to damn near play that game of a lifetime to get that win.
That's right.
You know?
Right. So in order to beat undefeated teams is that you have to play a perfect game. And I'm talking about all three phases. Offensively, you can't turn the ball over. You have to do what you do. Run the football, get some play action, and get a big play every now and then. Get your win the field position battle special teams-wise. Returning all the kicks. Make sure you're fielding the punts and getting some yardage after that. And then defense, we got to produce some turnovers. If you can produce some turnovers and shorten the game, getting the ball back to your offense, that's going to help you win the game. Again, all three phases will play a part in who wins and loses this football game.
Field the punts, and the first step should be forward. Don't you think?
That's right.
Yeah, all
that's
that right. Side, that's that side only stuff, they go. Can't do that.
Hey, B-Miss, I learned that from you. We going straight. That's the only. I ain't trying to outrun nobody. I'm going straight, and if you can catch me that way, then you got me.
There you
Absolutely.
Go. Let people know where they can get you on your podcast, B.
Yes, I'm on the Adam Lefko podcast on Bleach Report. I'm on 97.5 up in Philly. You know, I'm still on the Brian Westbrook podcast as well, and so I'm running all over the place trying to make it all make sense, and I'm also on First Things First on FS1 on Tuesday and Wednesday morning. So check me out and certainly support me. Hit me up on Twitter, Facebook, as well as Instagram at 36 Westbrook.
Yep, and then he do all that stuff and he still raises horses.
That's right.
A lot
That's
of energy,
right.
brother. A lot of energy. Man, I appreciate you, man. Thanks
all right,
for joining
brother.
Us,
Take
man.
Care now.
All right, that's Brian Westbrook from Philadelphia Eagle and 49er telling us exactly how the Washington football team could go out there and get them a victory. If they take care of the business, don't turn the ball over, put some pressure on Ben, that will definitely give you a chance. All right, we're going to take us a break here. We get back, we're going to open these phone lines back up, get your predictions on the game, and also that Washington wins if. 301-230-0980.
The Brian Mitchell Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
Hi, welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show. As we get you ready for this football game that kicks off at 5 o'clock here today, Washington football team taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And at 2 o'clock, you have the tailgate show starting right here on the Team 980 and Radio.com. Al Galdi will be bringing you that for an hour before we get the pregame show coming up. And then take you right into kickoff as Washington takes on the Steelers. But we want to find out from you all predictions and Washington wins if. And we're going to go back to the phone lines and start off with Brandon. What's up, Brandon? How you doing, man?
What's up, man? How you feeling?
I'm good, man.
Hey, man, I heard a whole lot of from B. Westbrook, a whole lot of we. I understand your homer, baby. I love it. But, nah, man. Hey, man, we went F on defense. Press man the whole game. Big Ben love to get the ball out real quick. You have to get these balls off their these guys off their line. Like, because if we don't press man, he's going to dump it down real quick. Offensive-wise, I'm implementing the same jet sweeps, but I want to see some RPO behind it. Not running with Alex Smith, but I'm saying Antonio Gibson getting the ball or McLaurin just cutting across the field. We can do it because they struggled with RPO last week. Even though Alex Smith, you know, isn't the runner that RG3 is, I feel like just that deception can open up some things, man. We got this one. I'm going to say Washington 24, Pittsburgh 18. Y'all have a good one. Hail to the football team.
Appreciate your call. And I'll say this. Last week they did struggle with those RPOs and getting on the edges. But those tight ends of the Ravens blocked their asses off. Now, if we want to have that level of success, we're going to have Logan Thomas and the rest of his crew block that same way. Because if you can't block those outside linebackers, you're not going to be able to do the jet sweeps because they're going to just – they will get upfield, turn it back in, and you'll have a lot of people coming there. So the tight ends are going to be vitally important blocking on any play like that trying to get to the edge. That's how the Ravens were able to have some success against them last week. Let's go to Lou. Lou, what's happening, man? How you doing?
My big bro, what's happening, B-Mix? How you doing?
Good, man. What's happening with you?
About a whole lot, man. For us to, I guess, to shock the world that we gotta bring. I mean, we gotta play A1 football. Like you got. I mean, you think about making the playoffs. I mean, because you know the Giants won yesterday. That's even making it a little harder for us to make the playoffs. So they gotta play a turnover free football. Alex Wright gotta be on point. I mean, after Alex Wright, Alex Smith, and the defense gotta. You know, they gotta make that play, man. Like you did in Dallas. I look for, you know, turnover, Chase and Montez and, you know, coming at the end and, you know, getting to Ben because Ben likes to hold the ball. So our defense got to come up, man. So we're going to try to make that a run in the playoffs because, you know, like I said, you know, the Giants winning yesterday, it makes it even harder for us to try to make the playoffs now because, you know, the East is, you know, they beat us twice, so they already got 5 games. I mean, if they win 2 more games, they all in. And so we got to win, like, 4 games, if not 5. So, man, we got to.
Lou, you got bad. Get that signal check, man. Let's get to Rashad, find out what Rashad thinks. The Washington wins if. What's up, Rashad? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, B-Mitch?
Good.
We win today, first of all, When Pittsburgh turns the ball over, we got to capitalize. You know, we can't go point for point with them. You know, there's too many times where we've been playing against teams and they'll turn the ball over or make a mistake, and then next thing you know, we're 3 and out, and we're putting the ball right back to them, you know. Mm-hmm. We got to actually capitalize. We got to jump out with the lead and make them chase us, you know. They got to play our game. We can't play their game. You know, we got to be confident, and we just got to go in and take their field over. That's our field. You know what I mean? We going up to Pittsburgh and naming that joint Washington. All right, I'm done.
All right, man. Appreciate it, bro. Hey, there's a lot of confidence going on. I think when you look at your team playing well, I think you look at the fact how They didn't have wins, and then all of a sudden they started to put some wins out there. You look at like the Giants. The Giants were sitting at 1-7. Now they 5-7. You know, so this is the time of the year when you make hay. You make your name at this time of the year when things start to get a little tighter, and you got to go out there and say, okay, we're gonna kick this door down and make it happen. So I'm gonna keep taking your calls and take your predictions as well. Let's go to Anthony. What's up, Anthony? How you doing, man?
What's going on, man?
Good, man.
Hey, Washington wins if we get off the field on third down. And that's got a lot of different layers to it. Most importantly, though, they only got 4 days of rest. So if we can wear on their defense a little bit, that'll pay dividends, especially later in the ballgame. That's my two cents. The other thing I want to say is, I don't know why, man, but I got a feeling 10 days off, we schemed up some stuff, and I got a feeling Khalil Hudson's going to have a big day today. I don't know why. I think you're going to see him in some special defensive packages, and I got him down for having a big special teams play.
All right, man. And I'll take that. I'll take that. I think special teams can do so. And that's the thing about it, getting the momentum on your side. And I think special teams is that one phase of the game that does that. And if we can do something special on special teams, you know, they try to make a fake, stop them. Get a big return or a big jarring hit and the ball comes loose. Anything of that caliber, that throws a lot of momentum to your side. And then people can ride that for a little bit, you know. So I think special teams need to step up and be something great. I don't want to finish this game and just talk about how Tress Way flipped the field. That is outstanding. He does a great job doing that. But we need to see some maniacs going down on punt coverage and kickoff coverage and make some things happen. And when we are returning balls, block your tails off. Make sure you do some great things in that situation too. Sell out to give your guys an opportunity. The guys back there returning can do big things if and only if you block for them. So go out there and block your tail off. Let's go to Tavon, Rev T. What's up, Rev? How you doing, man?
CB Mitch, my C980 family. What got to happen? If he got my music playing tonight, but he can hit the music, though. See, what got to happen is, B-Mitch, and I said it the other day, is the Washington football team, the offense got to go out there and make a play and seize the moment. The defense got to go out there and cause disruption and seize the moment. The special teams got to seize the moment. Because listen here, B-Mitch, this is what happened. In the final minutes, in the final rounds, I tell it to the young. I tell it to the old. You let all that burning gold fill up your soul. And we'll be all saying, hell to the Washington. Hell to the Washington. Beat the Steelers. Beat the Steelers. Guess what, B-Mitch? I believe. Y'all know who this is. The people's. Let me say it again. The people's hype man. Hashtag Rev C. Believe, baby. March with me. Seize the moment. Ow! Love somebody. Let's go.
You got to have that energy, man. You just got to have it. You got to believe. And listen, I know there's probably some Steelers fans listening and going, oh, they crazy. But you know what? That's what fanhood is about, believing in your squad. And I think we've watched this football team. They started off and they weren't that good of a football team. And Ron was saying some things that were on and off. People were questioning things. But as of late, this team has played a lot better. You're starting to see a lot of these young guys step up and start to perform and play like they believe. They believe in them. They believe in team. They believe in the coach. They believe they can do some special things. And as Lou stated, yeah, it's getting tougher and it's getting harder. But they have to try their best to keep pace with the Giants and hope that they trip up somewhere and they can go. Because as I look at this thing right now, Giants sitting at 5-7. Let's say, looking at the games, and you say, okay, they'll probably beat the Cowboys. So that's 6-7. So as you look at us sitting at 4-7 with five games to go, it's two of them. Two we got to get. You would say Eagles, okay, and Panthers, possibility. One of those Steelers, 49ers, Seattle game has to be won. And you're hoping the Giants don't win but one. Things are getting tighter. It's getting closer. But here we are, December 7th, and we're still talking about a possibility of the playoffs. I understand for some people out there, their team is undefeated, a team have 8 wins or 6 wins or whatever, you might be laughing at us thinking that. But, hey, it's been a long time since we can discuss having an opportunity to win a division and get to the playoffs. Okay, I think that's the main thing right now, being in it. Down the stretch, having meaningful games. That's something that I really like. You know, and at the beginning of the year when things were going crazy, I didn't think it was a possibility. I'll be honest. I'm not going to sit up here and try to act like I always thought that they would be here. But now you're seeing it. But you have a chance. And the one thing that I've heard Coach Ron Rivera talk about over and over again is controlling what you can control. This team can't worry about what the Giants do. They can't worry about what the Cowboys do, the Eagles. They shouldn't care one bit about what goes on in those cities. But what they have to do is make sure that every day that they come in, they get just a little bit better. Every time they step on the football field, they get a little bit better as an individual, as units, as an offense, as a defense, as a special team, and then as a whole damn team. And that same thing goes for the coaches. You know, you might have some experience coaching and been a head coach somewhere else, but you haven't been a head coach here. You haven't been an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator here. So you need to be improving your game daily, weekly, monthly, every game, quarters. Just figure it out. Have. Just try to do something a little better than you did the game before. Because if you do everything you possibly can, that's the only way you have a chance. Because nobody else is going to sit there and roll over and just let it happen for you. They're not going to sit there and say, oh, you know what? They're getting better, so we're going to let them win. No. You got to get better so you can go take it. You know, Rev, he comes in, he's hyped, he loves it. But he says, seize the moment. Seize the opportunity. That's what happens. Hey, that may be a moment in this game. And Coach Gibbs has always said, when you start really thinking about a football game, 2, 3, 4 plays decides the damn game. So that may be a chance in this game where a ball hits your hand. You can pick it off. Do you catch it and run, go to the house, or do you drop it? That may be a chance in this game when you have to make a block. Do you take the wrong step and risk and just whiff and miss the block? Or do you take the right step, do the things you were taught, hit the guy right down the center of him, and the guy cuts off your butt and go and score a touchdown? There will be an opportunity where this thing is coming. And if you've done what Ron has stated, handle your business. Put everything into doing what you can do better. What I mean, like, instead of saying, well, I'm going to go over here and play this video game. I know a lot of guys like to play it. Play the video game after you put an extra hour into your film study. Researching your opponent. Also researching yourself. Seeing what type of tendencies you're giving off. If they have done everything and doing everything, then you have a chance. There is no score before a football game. That score comes after the football game. You watched the game yesterday with Cleveland. You know, they were running away with it at first. That game ended up 41-35. That game looked like it was about to be a one-sided blowout, but Tennessee came back in the second half and fought. Cleveland did enough to finish that and win that game. But how about let's play start to finish just like we did in the last game against Dallas. We were asking for it. We got it. Show us you can do it again. Because every time you do something, guess what happens? People's expectations changes. My expectation is they play four full quarters and 3 phases. In that way, you give yourself a chance. If you don't do it that way, you don't have a chance. Take us a break. We get back. We'll close this thing out. This is the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, Team980.com, and the Radio.com app. We'll be right back.
The Brian Mitchell Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
As you're watching the games and you want to get a bet, make sure you bet on sports from almost anywhere in the city with DC Lottery's new sports book, Gambit DC. Download the app today at gambitdc.com. That's GAMBETDC.com. It's sports, only better. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call the National Council on Problem Gambling at 1-800-522-4700. We had 2 games today. We got the 5 o'clock game, Washington football team and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then we got our regular Monday night game. Then there's some more football tomorrow night. I mean, I'm sure if you're a football fan, you're absolutely enjoying this because you get so much of it. And like I said, sitting there yesterday watching game after game after game is something I don't get a chance to do. And it was an unbelievable feeling. Buffalo Bills taking on the San Francisco 49ers out in Arizona tonight. That's an 8:15 game. And then tomorrow night, the Dallas Cowboys take on the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. The Ravens are 8.5-point favorites. The Steelers are 6.5, and also San Francisco is favorite by 1.5. And that has a lot to do with that west to east and that east to west. When you travel, the records for those teams aren't very, very good. Let's go to the phone lines and get Rick. Rick, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's up, B. Mitch? It's actually Vic.
Vic. What's up, Vic? How you doing, man?
I'm all right. I'm excited tonight, B. Mitch. I do think the Steelers are – well, I don't think. The Steelers are a better football team, you know, top to bottom. But what I'm excited about is I'm a football coach. I want to see what – when I say my guys, what the Washington football team has as far as competitors, what's between the ears, and how we apply that as players and as coaches. As a general manager, if I'm sitting in the booth, I'm like, okay, this is a chance for me to see what I need to draft, what I don't need to draft, who I need to cut, who I need to trade, because the Steelers are going to be who they are. Who are we going to be tonight? With that being said, the key parts of the game that I'm really paying attention to is what Vince Lombardi said best, is our offensive and defensive line. Can we protect the quarterback tonight? Because teams have shown the ability to get behind the Steelers secondary in the games where the close games they've had over the season, and even most recently, when they played the Ravens, and the Ravens were depleted at that. And if we can protect Alex Smith, we have an opportunity to get some chunk yards down the field with our athletes, and we can see how our athletes are willing to compete. And defensively, I believe, this has been happening around the NFL. I don't know if people have noticed it, but a lot of teams are manning the front side and zoning the backside or vice versa, and they're running even some of the best pre-snap reading quarterbacks into coverages where they're throwing into triple double coverage, or they're thrown in the coverage where a linebacker is sinking and it's like a triangle where the linebacker's ability to get into the passing lanes or safety or a corner that squeezes it. And if we can do that to Ben Roethlisberger with our pass rush, we may have a chance to get to him and give ourselves a chance to make this interesting.
Well, Vic, what you're catching is they a lot of defenses are doing what Vegas does. When you go to gamble in Vegas, they give you what? The house rules. And they know if you make certain moves, only a certain things are going to happen. And overall, in the long run, they're going to beat you. So what those defenses are doing, you're saying they're making quarterbacks, based off of their keys, go to the area where they know they're going to go, and they sit there and they wait for them. And that's basically defenses dictating to the offense.
That's a great way to explain it.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's just what we need to do. And you're totally right. We have to start doing stuff like that instead of reacting to what they do. Because once you're reacting to what they do, they've already dictated.
Yes, that's right.
All right, brother. Appreciate your call, man. Good stuff.
All right, Mitch.
Thank you, man.
You too.
All right, let's go to check out my man, Christopher. What's up, Chris? Washington wins if.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mitchell.
What's up, man?
You. Hey, real quick, happy holidays, but the key, watching Pittsburgh play Baltimore, Ben was getting the ball out so fast to his tight end and Juco. I would put Holcomb on him just wherever he tight end goes, he goes. And that's going to elongate the time that Ben has to hold the ball, which then gives our pass rush a chance to attack him. Because you got to sit there and you got to cover up his tight end, because the receivers don't have enough time to get downfield. If you can cover sack them, then that's what's gonna that's the key to this whole game. Obviously, we need to run, protect the ball, and play special teams. Have a great afternoon, Mr. Mitchell.
Appreciate it. I know it's a team game, but individuals have to step up and play some terrific games tonight too. Because when individuals have great games, the team normally can sit there and have a great team game. You know, and when you have guys that do something, let him do it, and let him do it consistently. And I heard a caller earlier talk about we have to press a little bit. Even if we're not playing press man, the look should look like we're pressing. Because what we do sometimes, we back 7 yards, 8 yards, and you watch a guy come off that ball and the quarterback immediately throws it. As soon as we touch him, boom, he gets 8 yards. If you see somebody on the guy's nose playing like an inside read, quarterback doesn't go that way. But you can bail right at the moment so he doesn't try and throw a fade either. It's different little things you can do. I used to watch Darryl Green. I watched Deion Sanders. Those guys would be playing man and be lined up in a zone look. Sometimes they play in zone, they line up in the man look. And you didn't know what was going on until the ball was snapped. We got to start doing that. And I know what the coaches are trying to get, but, hey, that pre-snap look tells a long story. And we have to find a way to do it to others and don't just let them be able to just pick us apart. Let's go to JJ. JJ, what's going on? Washington wins if.
Hey, Brian. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man.
I'm good, man. Washington wins if somebody blocks T.J. Watt, man. Last week, there wasn't nobody blocking him, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was running free off the end like he was a running back going up through a hole, man. But we got to put a body on him coming off that end.
Yeah.
With Bud Dupree out, you know, we need to take advantage of that. The guy that just called you was talking about Ben holding the ball for his receiver. I think Ben only holds the ball for an average of, it's like, what, 1.7 seconds or something?
He's been throwing it under 3 seconds this year, totally.
Yeah. It's pretty quick, man. Brian, I wanted to ask you, are you kin to the guy, the running back to that plays for Louisiana?
Nah. Elijah? Nah.
That Mitchell guy.
Nah,
hey, that's gonna be a good. That kid's gonna be good in the pros.
Oh, he can play, man. Yeah,
he can play, man. Yes. When I saw Mitchell, I said, man, I'm gonna have to ask. But man, you take care, man. I appreciate all your work, man.
Appreciate you, man. All right, JJ.
Take care. All right, bro. Okay. All right.
I'm gonna have to be like Bobby Mitchell did me. I'm gonna start telling people, yeah, he's a cousin. You know, because Elijah, he's been playing very well for the school for a long time, and I'm happy to see them on TV giving me an opportunity. I think they may be up to about 21 or even better now. They're doing some things. Iowa State's way up there. We beat them, embarrassed them in Iowa, and they still got them ranked higher than us. Doesn't make much sense to me. Let's go to Deacon. What's up, Deacon? How you doing, man?
Hey, good afternoon, Brian. Good afternoon.
Same to you, man.
Washington Nation. All right. We win. Redskins win if you fed those puppies gunpowder last night. We win if you let Chase Young, let him go. We win if you keep Morgan Moses on the left side. We win if Ben does a three-step instead of a two-step. Oh, yeah, we win tonight, baby. I'm out.
All right, man. Appreciate your call. Oh, man, I'm starting to have some little feeling, some kind of way here, Solly. What's going on, man? People feeling good.
You got to believe, like Rev T said, right?
You got to,
until the game is played, we can all believe we're going to win.
That's it. You know, I think we all know there comes a time in the game where you come in a crossroads where you may make a mistake. How do you respond to it? And I think that's the ultimate thing where I don't care if you're a young guy or an older guy. If something goes awry, something goes wrong, how do you respond to it? Does it happen, you erase it, and you move on? Or does it happen and you allow it to begin to snowball? And you try to, okay, I got to erase that. So the next play, you start trying to do something that's outside of what the game plan is. And you make another mistake. That is where this game is going to be decided. When people that know how to manage mistakes and manage opportunities and take advantage of the opportunities.
I didn't think that the Giants were going to win after they allowed that safety that should have been a touchdown.
Yeah.
I thought, man, this is it. Cole McCoy is not going to come back. Russell Wilson's going to win this game. And they believed.
They
like
believed. They
said.
Made
they
it
believed.
Happen.
Joe Judge made them believe. And it surprised me and probably everyone else watching that game who wasn't a Giants fan that they won that game.
And when I looked at that game yesterday, that game and a few others out there, I'm like, damn. Something's in the air. Things are happening that you don't expect to happen. So I'm just saying this game coming up tonight, a little bit over 3 hours, they got to go out there with the mindset that, you know what, we're going to slay this giant here. They're sitting at 11-0. They're feeling good about themselves. Yeah, they didn't play good against the Ravens. And after the game, Tomlin was pissed off. He said some stuff. But does that team sit up there and go, but we won the football game? Did they go into practice this week saying we're playing against a team that's sitting at 4-7 and we're not worried about them? You know, we're undefeated. Are they going to go into this game overconfident and not basically going to where they went out there and did everything they were supposed to do? I know that the young center who played in place of Pouncey last week, he did well. Will he still do that again? Because we anybody could do it once. Can you add another game to it and start to stack them? You know, can you do that? And will our big dogs be big dogs? I know a lot of times we sit there and we begin to talk about things. The way I look at it is, who are you? If you are that man, be that man. First rounders, big playmakers, whoever you are, the guy, play like you've been playing to get people excited. Do the things you've been doing to make people feel good about you. Terry McLaurin, we expect it because he does it all the time. Antonio Gibson, we're going to expect it because he's been doing it. Steven and Cam Sims, two guys that have shown they're capable. How about Jontrell Inman? Right? Thomas. Logan Thomas. Alex Smith. It's not about the story. It's about let's make some plays now. Let's put all of it together. Defensively, from Chase Young over to Montez, everybody on that offensive line. Defensive line, get it done. And in the secondary, you're getting opportunities. A lot of young guys have gotten opportunities. Make sure you keep getting them. So we're going to get out of here, and we're going to let Al Galdi's going to come in. He's going to start off with the tailgate show, get you all prepared for this game tonight, this afternoon, this evening, whatever it's going to evening. And let's hope that our Washington football team gets us a victory. We'll see you tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Hopefully it's going to be a victory Tuesday. We can have a little fun. We get a chance to talk and have and let's hope Big Tony has to eat some crow. Let's do it like that. This is the Brian Mitchell Show. We appreciate you joining us. I want to thank Ross Tucker, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, for joining us here, and also Brian Westbrook for joining us. Everybody that called in, thank you. We'll see you tomorrow at 12. Take care of yourself. Enjoy the game.